The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Do you have a heavy metal-related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
This is Hell's favorite harlot, Priscilla Kelly, and you are listening to Radioactive Metal.
Horns up, metalheads. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareem, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to an RAM Knockouts episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 484, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
Fuck the pain away! Green.
And Aaron.
Hey, bros and bra, what's going on?
The whole band is here.
Mm-hmm.
Hail, hail.
Living the fucking American dream, my friend.
We are a fully armed and operational battle station tonight. I love it. I love it when the four horsemen are all together. That's awesome.
Yes. Oh, my God. All the wrestling references tonight.
And with good reason.
Exactly.
And with good reason. I know Aaron was kind of... I think Aaron's a little, oh my God, are we going to become Radioactive Wrestling and all that? And I
said, we're there.
No, we're not. Only when it's relevant. Only when it's relevant.
And, listen, I'm going to drop a pile driver and put you in a figure four leg lock.
Wait.
Reverse cowgirl that shit.
Wrong sport.
Yeah. Well, Aaron, just wait till we get Pile Driver on the show. Holy shit.
Oh yeah, the band.
Mm. Oh, the band. Not the sex toy, right?
Well,
I wouldn't know anything about that.
It all depends on what kind of night it is. It's a Friday night as we record. I'm already into the Lemmys in my Sex Pistol mug here, and I'm going out a little later on tonight. So I'm in a good mood. So I don't know. There just might be some pile driving tonight. Hang on. Okay.
You can't skip over this. So you're drinking Lemmys in a Sex Pistols mug to essentially warm up your Sex Pistol.
His love gun.
Oh. I don't know.
Pull the trick.
I don't think my night's... I don't think my night's going to be that fun, but I do want to run something by you guys. Okay. The expression, have you ever heard the expression wine, woman, and song?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. It was really? In the song Four Seasons in the Sun by Terry. Was it Terry Jacks?
Yeah. Susan and Terry Jacks. But yeah. It's also an old expression as well. When, you know, I'm going out for wine, woman, and song, that means, you know, I'm going out partying with my friends and all that. And
if I'm not mistaken, it's almost like biblical old. I think it's referenced in the Bible at some point.
It is an old expression, and I used it at work today with just a normie. It doesn't really matter, okay?
Uh-huh.
He asked, you know, what are you doing tonight? And I said, you know, why woman and song? And he goes, only one song?
Oh my goodness! Seriously?
He was taking it literally.
Yeah, I'm like, no. There's going to be lots of songs.
Okay, I'm just
going
curious
out tonight.
This is not like taking a stab at any generation in particular. But what was the age on this guy?
Yeah,
30 or less.
No, about 40.
Oh, he has no excuse. Let's go get him.
He still should have known this expression. Yeah.
You need to take him out and explain it to him. Like, we're gonna go live this.
I did.
No, I mean, like, take him out tonight. Like, come on.
No.
Let's go out. American
dream. No. I'm going out with cool people tonight.
You have a civic duty to educate people. We have to spread the gospel of metal. So.
Somehow, I don't see Snowy as a teacher.
Oh, I think
maybe
he's
as,
for
maybe as a corrupt.
Well, it all depends on what it is I'm teaching.
But he's got a bad.
Oh, God.
Now, some people might say that I'm a teacher, you know, for about an hour every week. I would say so for the last 11 years. I've been doing some edumacating, so hey.
Snowy, I want to add this to your badassery here. If you lived in our wonderful state of Florida, also known as the penis state, Florida?
I see it. Neither have I, but I have deduction powers and I saw it right away. Yes.
But you look at Florida and it is literally the penis of the United States. You can't fucking miss it. That thing is like a goddamn monster.
It's just dangling there, yeah.
That's right. But I wanted to let you know that in the great penis state of Florida, there is a fantastic course at Seminole State, the college I go to, that teaches the history of rock and roll.
Oh, right on.
And not only does it teach the history of rock and roll, but dude, it is a credited fucking course to get a degree. It's fucking
nice.
Cool.
Nice.
And I've been trying to get into it, but they only have afternoon classes, and that doesn't necessarily work with my schedule. But you could be a teacher.
Professor Snowy.
That's right.
Oh, God.
All right.
Oh, God. God help all those poor students.
I think that's your new nickname. We're just going to call you the professor.
The Professor Snowy, yeah.
Okay,
sure.
Today, class, I'm going to teach you about power violence.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And then every February, porno grind.
That's right. Fucking right, man. I cannot wait for Valentine's Day.
A little pile driver might be on the side.
Of course.
Oh, man.
Okay. Before we fall too far off the rail, if everyone's doing well, then I can tell everyone is, and maybe we should get on with it.
We wander the streets living intense metal lives. Find out what we did in The Metal Fix.
Let's do it.
Okay, someone speak.
Kareen, how about you go first?
It's an honor. It's an honor. I'll do this. Okay. What's up, guys? What's up?
Hello.
Is this The Metal Fix?
Yes.
It is.
Sure is.
Okay.
Well, welcome to The Metal Fix, Kareen.
Thank you. I want to let you all know that I was not paying attention just a moment ago when that bumper was put into place.
Obviously.
No shit.
Don't worry. Nobody noticed.
Hey, back at the Banana Ranch. I do have a fantastic metal fix for you guys.
Woo-hoo. Okay. And
yes, I want everybody to know that this has been one of the coolest fucking weeks for metal that I've had in a while. Only because I received a really cool message, okay, about a couple of weeks ago from somebody on Twitter talking about coffee. And, you know, when people talk about their business on Twitter, like them actually owning a business, they don't necessarily like actually follow through with it, or it's just a gimmick. Mm-hmm. But this person really, really like they didn't push it, but they intrigued me with what they were selling. So needless to say, I checked it out and said to myself, I want to do this. So a little company that literally just started this month had pre-orders starting this week for a black metal themed coffee.
Ooh.
They're called True Cult Coffee. And let me get you the information because it's not spelled in the English way. It's actually spelled in the black metal way.
It's true.
Oh,
it's
Cavalt.
It's cult.
Yes.
Cavalt. Yeah.
Cavalt.
Yes. Oh, right. Oh, that's awesome.
It is awesome. So for those who are interested in checking it out, the website is TRVEKVLT, the word coffee.com. And I bought myself a bag of coffee from this small little company. It's a husband and wife duo. They're from Germany, but they live in Ohio.
Oh.
Cool. Yeah, they literally just like started this, messaged me out of the blue. They had not even, I don't know, they didn't have very many people liking their page on Twitter because they were just starting up brand new. And all of a sudden, this is now a thing. And I was like, I have to support this business. I don't care. I'm going to buy something from them. And I became friends with them personally on Facebook. So I now know them and I've just been keeping in contact with them and they're pretty cool fucking people. They're really cool.
Now, since it's black metal coffee, I'm guessing that there's no sugar or cream allowed, right?
I was going to say that. Like, what happens if I put cream in it? Is it going to blow up?
Then it plays Megadeth.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the fuck?
Yeah, then it becomes Megadeth coffee, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Or Cult of Azazel, you know, because Cult of Azazel just arises from the cult of coffee.
Nice.
But I actually, let's see here. I was going somewhere with this.
You ordered your coffee.
I ordered the coffee. And I drink my coffee black, but I'm also apparently, and they told this to me on Twitter, that I am their very first female customer.
No
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't it fucking cool?
You go, girl.
Yeah. So I took a screenshot of that. I liked it. I retweeted it. I Facebooked it. I'm like, I'm going to be the first fucking female for this damn coffee. And I'm going to be like, fuck yeah.
That's right.
So do they have several different, because they have dark roast and medium roast and all that, what do they have?
They have black and blacker. That's all they got.
Well, that's the thing, I went on their website, I went on their website, not even thinking about what kind of coffee, that types of coffee they have. All I know is I wanted it grounded. Because I'm not going to ground that shit myself. And I just wanted a bag of coffee. And that's literally what it just is. It's just coffee. True Cult Coffee. And it's got a cool picture of a forest. A black and white forest. And,
of course.
And I know... I know on Twitter they were having an issue with Apple, the Safari Apple browser. So they said to one of the people who are following them, who also tried to order the coffee, they said, you really need to fire your programmer. And the guy was like, yeah, we're gonna grind him up and serve him to Starbucks. Like, they've got,
nice.
They've got great humor. Oh, my yeah. God. Fuck, yeah. Dude, true cult coffee or true cavalt coffee or whatever the hell you want to say it. But, and I tried to also get a shirt, too, but their shirt sold out. And I'm like, whoa.
Dang.
Right on.
So I don't know how this would go over, but picture like, so right now they've got the True Cult Coffee, right? Then right. Maybe they bring out like a different roast. They call it the Church Burner.
Oh.
Think about it. I don't know how many other people would find it funny. I'd find it funny.
Oh.
We're
as long as
them
that,
ideas.
Yeah, okay. As long as it's not Marcus Barkin.
I want these people on the show. Like,
yeah, me too.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Oh, this is definitely a creature feature brewing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, but seriously, like I have their personal information. it's so cool how this all fucking happened.
Okay, I want to meet these people. I want to talk to them.
So yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
cool.
I mean, I still have more of a metal fix, but I don't know how much I'm going to run into time.
Just do it quick.
Okay. Yeah. Also, speaking of coffee, I know the majority of you are going to really hate me for this because not only do I support local, but I also do corporation coffee, specifically Starbucks. So last week, okay, let me finish. Last week, Metallica posted on Twitter. I think it was last week. Yeah, last week, Metallica posted on Twitter that they have a limited edition Starbucks coffee gift card.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
As soon as I found that out, I had texted my boss who goes to Starbucks every day, and I said, oh my God, you gotta give me this Metallica gift card. Literally about to have my head popped off from so much excitement, like, oh my God. So apparently Starbucks, Lady Gaga, and this Chance the Rapper guy have these gift cards at Starbucks, and you have to buy them preloaded. You start off with $25 on them, but all the donations go to their charity. So the Metallica one goes to the Metallica charity, the Lady Gaga and the Chance the Rapper, so forth. But the cards are really fucking cool.
Yeah,
and
they're
really neat, and I'm glad I was able to get one.
Right on.
Very cool.
But dude, yeah, it's been a wild fucking week and past 2 weeks with coffee, let me tell you.
So you're wired.
Yeah.
I am wired, but I cannot wait to get this coffee and let you guys know what it's all about.
Would you say you're hardwired?
I'm hardwired to coffee. Yeah.
Okay, so When I get to Florida, the first thing Corinne and I are doing, we're having a cup of True Cavalt coffee.
Yes.
And
yes,
then
we are.
We're hitting like some brutal death metal show.
And then you're going to the Haven.
Yeah, to the Haven. And we're going to fucking tear it up until we're both kicked out of the state.
Rock and I are missing out on Cannibal Corpse right now.
Oh, why are you guys? Oh, really? Why do you tell me these things?
Oh, it must be in Tampa or something.
It is in Tampa.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh,
wait, no, it's not.
You're all right. Oh,
okay. No, it's not here.
Wait. Oh, let's hold this gravy train up here.
Okay.
I would still fucking drive. It's an hour and a half, but I'd still go.
Well, oh, they're at the State Theater at the St. Pete. Oh God, that place is a nightmare to get to. Oh God,
Ophiria? Ophirium?
Oh, is that they're at the Orpheum?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's easy to go. I'm going there actually tomorrow. So.
See? Oh, Rock, you could go there tomorrow, but you couldn't do today.
Well, we got to record.
We're here. Okay, but I would be super pissed if Cannibal, because fucking Power Trip and Gate Creeper are on that tour, man.
Yeah, they are.
And it never came up here. And if it was in Orlando, in walking distance for you guys, like, fuck. I would be pissed if you guys didn't go. But, okay, Tampa's kind of a hike.
It is.
All right.
All right, who's next?
Aaron will go. We're going to switch things up a bit. Go ahead, Aaron, and then I'll go and we'll let Rock finish her up.
You got it. All right. So mine continues from last week with Metallica. So last week, for our listeners that were not tuned into last week, you missed a show. But so I picked up the Metallica Deluxe 3D set. So not like the big box set, which I really want to get. But I've got the CD set. So Rock, we've been talking about this on the show. Rock introduced me to the Dean Del Rey podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to his latest episode he put out this week. He's talking about the big box set, and now I have to get this box set. Like all the stuff that's in it, because I mean, literally, he opened it up. He's talking about it on the show. I'm like, son of a gun, man. But here's what I want to talk about the three CD set. So I told you guys last week that like disc two was the gold for me because that's all the demos and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally get to like sit down and really give it a listen this week. So Master of Puppets, like the version of Master of Puppets is on here. You know how like, I mean, everyone who knows anything about Metallica knows that, you know, the new wave of British heavy metal was a big influence on them, right? They always talk about new wobbum, right?
Yep.
But you never really heard it in their sound. If you listen to the version of Master Puppets on this disc, like this disc two, holy cow, do you hear the new wobbum influence. Just the way James is phrasing his vocals, the way the melody choices, the way it's moving, it's the same song but different. I'm like, oh my goodness, this sounds like it could be the guys in Diamond Head. Mm. You know, like it really sounds just completely different than what you've heard. I'm like, wow, like it's the first time I really heard that new wobbum influence, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing on that disc is Disposable Heroes. So probably one of my all-time favorite tracks off that album.
Me too.
Yeah. And I remember as a kid trying to play it because it's in like weird time signatures and it's so fast. I'm like, man, how do they get these rhythms? Mm-hmm. And what was great is the version they're putting on there is, you know, it's somewhere in the early stages, but they are screwing up the rhythms left and right. You know, like what we know on the album is not what's happening right now. I'm like, I wish I could have heard that when I was a kid because that would have given me hope. You know, I'd be like, oh, okay, these guys are screwing it up too. But
they're not
like,
perfect.
No, and the best part is like they're screwing up the exact same things I was screwing up. I'm like, son of a bitch, it was tough.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I feel better now. You know?
Yeah, the picking on that song, oh my God, it's like, you know, you play a quarter of the song and your wrist is tired. You know, your wrist hurts.
Yeah.
It's insane.
So, Aaron, not to divert from what you're saying, but I do want to mention, and I found this out today, but did you guys know that Jason Newsted lives in the state of Florida?
What?
And he's in Jupiter Island. Yeah.
Really?
Jason Newsted. Yes.
Field trip.
Yeah. He's been living.
Oh, fucking rights, man.
He's been living here for 20 something years, and the rock station totally didn't like believe it. And then they confirmed it, but yeah, he's been living in the state of Florida forever.
Oh, just
nobody
like,
fucking knew that.
Just like Nico McBrain of Maiden also.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And Brian Johnson of AC/DC lives near Tampa.
What?
Yeah, Brian Johnson lives in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Okay, like we're doing the tour next time I'm down there.
Yeah. That whole map of the stars that you get in LA and all that. What we should do is the radioactive metal, like metal legends tour guide all throughout the state of Florida. Yeah. Well, Richard Christie lives here, and Chuck Schuldiner's mom lives here, and the Tardy brothers
cool.
live here, and there we go. Jason
we should totally do
lives
that.
Here.
Yep.
Oh, fucking rights, man.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Robin
this
Mason,
is the alleyway.
Robin Mason lives in Tampa also.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I see. And then we also have to put on the alleyway where, you know, Glenn Benton first met his wife, Corrine.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
yeah.
What?
You know?
It's
no.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah,
in the alley, literally.
In the alley behind the West End Trading Company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, yeah, you know, that same alley where I did the interview with Psycho Stick because some homeless guy came out of the dumpster. It was.
Wow.
It's all atmosphere. It's all atmosphere.
Oh,
I swear to God, I'm convinced that's what makes good interviews when you're trying to talk to a band. And like some fan comes up and, hey, dude, like, what's going on and all that. And it gets to the point where the subject is like, okay, can I talk to you later? I'm doing an interview. And meanwhile, I'm standing there with my recorder right there.
Yeah.
You know, like, morons.
So you have anything else, Aaron?
Nah, man, that was it.
This whole time, I was paying attention to what you were saying, Aaron, but this whole time I was kind of geeking out thinking, you know, when you mentioned like Metallica and New Oblum and all that, it's like, I wonder what Metallica would sound like with the same sound and tone of a Bitch's Sin or a Cloven Hoof or whatever. And it's like, oh, I had some wicked music going in my head there. That's awesome.
Dude, I bet you the deep in the vaults, there's tapes where they sound like that. Like they goof
I'm
around
sure.
to practice. Because after hearing that version of Master Puppets, I'm like, wow. never have I heard the influence. I'm like, man, like it's like just right there, right in your face, that you know, that new wobbum influence, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. All right. So what about you, Snowman? What's happening?
And just for the record, I think this is the very first time I ever said New Oblum.
It's New Oblum, not Blum.
Yeah. Okay. I've never
New Oblum
said it.
When Snowy says it.
I've always said new wave of British heavy metal, because the very first time I heard that expression was the when Sam Dunn said it on one of his movies and all that, and I thought, well, that sounds stupid. You know,
the first time I heard it was on Focus on Metal with Scott Thompson.
Me too. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's, I love those guys, but that sounds dumb.
Scott's got a street cred where I'm like, you know what? I would have never said it, but if he said it, then I think it's cool. So, you know.
Fair enough. True. I would take a bullet for those guys.
He's got the street cred for it, man.
For sure. They almost know about as much of metal as we do. So, hey. Almost.
All right.
For myself, I've actually, oh my God, like I haven't done much in the way of metal this week. Between watching Supergirl on Netflix all week, I haven't really done much. The new Acid Witch album, Evil Sound Screamers, I was really digging that. Going through some back issues of Maximum Rock and Roll from this past summer, I discovered a really cool Seattle crust punk band called Death Raid. Now you take the crust punk sound and you know you can tell this band has a lot of Motorhead and Hellhammer albums, and it really comes out in their sound. I've been cranking their discography this week as well, and it's like, oh my God, this stuff is really cool. But the thing I really want to bring everyone's attention to is the latest episode of Heavy Metal Relics, which is like my favorite show, and I'm really getting behind it. And the latest episode is up, and the thing that I really, really dug about it is this week's episode, they were talking about how the best way to store your vinyl albums, you know, on the racks, and the best way to do it. And they're talking about, you know, for the vinyl albums, you put them in poly bags and, you know, the best way to store them and all that. The example that our good friends Reaper and Bridget used, okay, when they were showing what to do, was Merciful Fates, Don't Break the Oath.
Ah.
Oh, I know.
And, one of my all-time favorites.
I'm sitting at work in my office, okay, and I'm watching this on my phone, and they pull out Don't Break the Oath, and I totally marked out. Like, I knew these people were cool. Yeah. Check it out, Heavy Metal Relics on YouTube. It's like the best fucking show on the air right now, and
I'm gonna start watching that, man. Every time you talk about it, I'm like, man, I need to check this out.
Oh, it's amazing. It's everything from 5 minutes to 20 minutes every Friday, and it's just Reaper and Bridget where they just talk about, you know, metal from yesteryear and everything. It's absolutely fantastic. New COC record is going to be coming out in January, and the first single, Cast the First Stone, is out making the rounds as well. I checked that out, and it's like, oh, it's sounding good. We have to get COC back on the show in the new year, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For sure. And that is my metal fix. What do you got, dude?
All right, cool. So, on my end, on December 7th, I went to a wrestling show. I went to MLW, their pay-per-view Never Say Never, and man, it was my first indie wrestling event. Okay, of the kind. I've been to Shimmer, you know, on WrestleMania weekend. But you know that's you know a bunch of you know women wrestling and stuff, and it's you know it got a little violent at some point where you know there was some wrestling that happened in the crowd. But dude, this was like this was intense, man, because I'm like ringside and there's like no barricade, you know, So the wrestlers were falling like right at my feet. You know, I'm like, holy crap.
Right on.
You know.
Oh, right
but,
on.
But the cool thing, the metal part in that is that when we got there, I already knew what the card was going to be, you know, which wrestlers are going to be there. And there was a couple of metalheads that were there. Well, actually, wound up there were three, but there were two for sure that I knew were there. So when I got there, first of all, I gotta give a shout out to a few people, some really cool people that I met that night. When I got and stood in line, there was an older couple that were in front of me. And I've seen this older couple, they're retired, and I see them all the time at all the NXT shows. They go to tapings, they go to house shows, I see them all the time, and their son too, you know. So I just started talking with them, and so I want to give a shout out to them, Anita, Randy, and now I feel really bad because their son, I totally spacing out, I can't remember his name, but those people were super cool, so... We kind of hit it off, you know, and became friendly, you know. So, and I was telling him, hey, this is my first indie show, and I don't know what to expect, and blah, blah, blah. And so they're like, oh, you'll love it, you'll love it. So they finally let us in. We get in, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go find my seat. Because I bought the very last seat. You know, all the rest was standing room only. So I was like, okay, row G... Seat 12, yeah, that's the very last fucking seat, isn't it? So I get there, and yeah, it's like the very last seat in the corner. Okay, well, this is going to be interesting. But the view wasn't bad because it was kind of tiered. It was tiered seating. It was in a club, in the Gilt nightclub. Kareem, do you know if that's a gay club? Have you ever heard of that club? I think it's a gay club. Gilt.
I have.
It's on, it's on Bennett near the Fashion Square Mall.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I've heard of it.
No, you haven't.
Really?
I've heard of the Gilt nightclub. Yeah.
You've heard of the one in Winnipeg.
No. That's because that's the second MLW event.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
There.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey.
All right.
Hey.
I know my Orlando shit. I've been paying attention.
Okay. All right.
Where's the Blue Oyster Bar at?
Blue Oyster was the club in Police Academy.
Police Academy.
Nice try. Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
okay.
Nice try.
All right. So anyway, I find my seat and I'm like, okay, well, now I know where I'm sitting. And so there were a few wrestlers that were had their gimmicks around the ring. You know, they were selling their T-shirts and stuff. And who did I spot? But well, John Morrison was there. Joey Ryan was there. But who did I spot and did I make a beeline to? None other than Brody King.
Oh, yes.
He is the singer of the death metal band God's Hate.
And oh, my God.
He's also a professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, dude, he's 6'7". He's like a big dude. I'm talking to him and I'm literally like, I have my head up. You know, hey, dude, how's it going?
Yeah.
So I talked to him a little bit. Super nice guy, and I wound up buying the full length by God's Hate called Mass Murder.
Did he have it there? Oh,
they were selling their record there.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
He had it on vinyl and CD. I bought it on CD.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I gave him my business card. I said, dude, we need to have you on the show to talk about your band and talk about wrestling. He's like, oh, yeah, dude.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, anytime. Just let me know. I was like, all right, perfect, you know.
So yes.
Yeah, so then I kind of make my way, and I met one of my favorite female wrestlers, Santana Garrett, was there also. She's local, but she's done stuff for NXT, and she does Shine. She's on Shimmer. I mean, she's like one of the top, you know.
She's been on Impact. I don't like you anymore.
Yeah, well, you know. So I got to meet her, get an autograph, and get a signed picture. So then I go back to my seat, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going. So it's going to start in about 45 minutes, so I'm going to go to my seat. And I'm kind of wondering, what the fuck am I going to do with this shit? You know, now I got this shit in my hand. What am I going to do with it? I don't want to damage it, you know, because it's a photo and stuff. So while I'm pondering what I'm going to do, the son of the older couple that I met that I was just telling you about earlier, he comes up to me and he said, hey, my wife couldn't make it tonight. And because she's out of town on business, if you want to come sit with us over there, we have an empty seat. I was like, oh, where do you sit? Oh, just front row over there. I'm like, are you sure? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, no, come sit with us. I'm like, okay, great. So I wound up, I bought a ticket for the last row, but I wound up front row. Bam.
There you go. Wow.
Right
nice.
On, right That's on. Awesome. Well, I'm going to buy someone a beer tonight just to pay it forward for that. That's awesome.
So yeah. During the show, also, there was a guy sitting to my right. This guy, and I'm going to give him a shout out too. His name is Will. I don't know if he's listening to this. I told him to listen to us because of the interview that we have tonight. And he came from Nashville to see the show. So
oh, wow.
He was on his way to Miami. He says, well, since the show is I found out about the show, I figured I'd make a stop and come see MLW, you know. So we hit it off. Really nice dude. So, Will, if you're listening, you know, it was nice meeting you, and I hope we see you again. And so the whole thing is happening. There's wrestling. Brody King comes out, and he was wrestling MVP. They wound up in the crowd behind us.
Oh, nice.
Pile of chairs, you know, power bombs on the chair. Brody's like bleeding from the mouth. And oh, dude, it was freaking insane. I'm going to post some of this stuff on Instagram because you guys need to see all this. It was insane. So
right on.
So then later on, Santana Garrett has a match, and she was supposed to wrestle Laurel Van Ness, who is also known wrestle her. She's also known as Chelsea Green. She was there to sign autographs. Chelsea was there to sign autographs, but we had got an announcement that she was not able to perform tonight and that they found a suitable replacement. Well, in walks my friend and former co-worker, Leva Bates.
Oh, nice.
So that was really cool to see Leva wrestle against Santana, you know. But so the match happens and all that. And at the end, you know, Santana wins and she's like, woo, you know, holding her head, you know, because, you know, they took a lot of bumps. And I'm not really paying attention. I'm kind of looking down at my phone. And then I hear the crowd go, hi, wah, wah. And I look up and I see this woman, black hair, all dressed in black, attacking Santana. Okay. So I'm like, okay, what the heck is going on? Never saw the girl's face because it happened so fast. I mean, seriously, it like 30 seconds. She got in, beat her up, and got right back out, you know. And
what?
Never saw her face, you know. So I'm like, all right, that was strange. And everybody's like, who was that? You know? So fast forward to the main event. We've got another metalhead, Jimmy Havoc from England. He was there.
Nice. Right on.
He was tagging with Darby Allin, and they were having a hardcore match against John Morrison and Shane Strickland. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the match happens. Dude, Jimmy Havoc is fucking insane. That's why they call him Jimmy fucking Havoc, okay? And the people were chanting at him, you sick fuck, you know, stuff like that. He was doing paper cuts on the guys, between the guys' fingers, and stapling with a staple gun, stapling pieces of paper to his opponents. And he came in and right in front of me. I mean, I literally, okay, this is how close I was to the ring. If I stood up, took one step forward and put my hand out, I was touching the apron.
Okay. Oh,
that's
right
how close
on.
I was, okay? So he dumps like a bunch of thumbtacks right in front of me in the ring. So I'm like, okay, the match hasn't even started. I'm like, okay, I'm taking a couple pictures. I'm putting my phone away because I need to pay attention. Because I hear from Brody and MVP getting in the crowd and all that. That was scary. That, you know, you have to pay attention. You have to get out of the way and, you know, you don't want to get hurt, you know? So I see all these thumbtacks. I'm like, what if, you know, one guy slides in those and they wind up in my face? And, you know, you never know. So anyway, they did some spots and stuff. The match is about to end, and the good guys are about to win. And then that girl from the match who attacked Santana Garrett earlier comes back out. And she hands the guys a chain, and she trips, you know, John Morrison and all that. Who was it? And she actually got to help the Jimmy Havoc and Darby Allin win their match. Who was it? But it's our guest tonight, the Priscilla Kelly.
Oh,
she
nice.
Was actually there, and dude, she totally kayfabed me during the interview.
She did what now?
She kayfabed me, which means that she kept me in the dark about her appearance at this show.
Oh wow!
She did not tell me about it at all, because we were going through, and you'll hear in the interview towards the end of the interview, we go through her upcoming appearances, where she's going to be. You know, she never mentioned she was going to be there. I talked to her on Monday, and she was there Thursday.
Oh, wow.
So that was
Had to keep it that way.
Yeah, and it was amazing. I thought it was such a great coincidence, you know, that she was there. And so this is perfect, you know. She appeared at the show. We have her tonight on our show. So I guess it's time for us to play the interview.
So, mm-hmm.
Without further ado, the Priscilla Kelly, Hell's Favorite Harlot.
Priscilla Kelly, the Gypsy Princess, calls herself Hell's Favorite Harlot. You may have seen her around the independent circuit. She's competed at Ring of Honor, Impact, and Shine. And look at who she was trained by, Homicide.
Yeah, she's only 19 years old.
All right, so today on the line, we have a champion. She is the inaugural and current Shine Nova champion. She's Hell's Favorite Harlot. We have the Priscilla Kelly on the line. Priscilla, how are you doing today?
I'm doing marvelous.
It sounds like you're having a little bit of activity there around you.
Yeah, I am. I'm getting my nails done, getting my super sharp pointy nails so I can scratch people's faces and backs.
Awesome. That's what I wanted to hear. So the reason we have you on today is because, well, I know you're a metalhead. You like a lot of different types of music. I know you're also a metalhead. But also tomorrow on December 16th, you're going to be defending your championship at the Orpheum in Tampa, Florida, at Shine 47. Mm-hmm. So who's going to be your opponent for that one?
ACR came out during my last match and decided to roundhouse kick me in the head. And I guess she's challenging me for the next Shine show, which is a very unexpected challenge. I mean, of all the people that I have been around over the last 6 months in Shine, the people that have, you know, with the Cutie Pie Club that have attacked me numerous amounts of times, and then ACR comes out, and it was a very big surprise of her, of all people, to challenge me. But if it's a challenge she wants, you know, she's going to get it, and she's going to learn quickly that she challenged the wrong person.
Yeah, that's going to be a fight for the ages, because ACR is no pushover.
Yeah, oh yeah, but the thing is I have defended my Shine Nova title since the tournament, and no one has been able to beat me yet for it. And nobody can get through my tactics, and nobody has the mind power to basically be what's the word I'm looking for? Let's just say I get in the heads of every opponent that I've had, and no one's been able to get past that yet.
Yeah, because you're kind of an unconventional wrestler. You kind of have some dirty tactics that you like to use. Can you tell our listeners what some of your dirty tactics that you like to use once in a while?
Yeah, I do quite a few. I lick, I bite, I grind. I do the I eat ass in the ring.
Oh.
Yeah, I do. But the thing is, you know, nobody's basically got the nerve to do the things that I do in the ring, and I think that's what makes me unique. Is I'm not ashamed to be open about anything, and I will go out there and do whatever I have to do to break down the psychological part of my, if you will, victim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that I rely on that, but it's a good way to really get in their minds, make them uncomfortable, so that when I do hit them with an attack, it's breaking them down not only physically but mentally as well.
Yes, that's true. It's a very, very. You're kind of an unconventional wrestler, but very effective in what you do. I've even saw a match on YouTube against that you had against Jordynne Grace, where you actually stuck your hand down your trunks and you tried to shake her hand after, and she just would not have any part of it. I mean, that's kind of insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people don't expect that. You know, everyone expects the same old, you know, lock up. And nobody expects me to do the things that I do. So when I do it, it's really just like, it really makes them wonder, like, who am I in the ring with? What am I in the ring with? What is she capable of? What will she do to me next? And I want people to always be questioning what's going to happen to them when they're in the ring with me.
Exactly. That's a good tactic. So you started wrestling in early 2015, if I'm not mistaken. Were you a fan of wrestling at all when you started out?
I was. I tell the story a lot, but it's a good story to tell. So my brother is actually autistic, and he had this like compulsive thing with like pirates for a while, and he came across an Undertaker action figure and had to take this thing with him everywhere because he thought Undertaker was a pirate at the time. But I did my research on the Undertaker, and of course, you know, found out all about him, and I found out, you know, I picked up some DVD sets, and we didn't have cable at the time, so all we watched was just Undertaker, and we just fell in love with wrestling. And not too long after that, I started training at a local wrestling school, and it really just took off from there, and I never really had any passion for anything else before that. You know, no goals, no idea of what I was going to do with my life, and wrestling kind of came along and gave me that.
Gave you a focus and a goal in life.
Yeah.
So who would you say that the Undertaker is like your main influence, or do you have any other wrestlers out there that are your influence?
Well, the Undertaker, because I mean, like, there's 1,001 wrestlers that I could name that influenced me, and you know, are just great to watch and learn from. But at the same time, the Undertaker was the first wrestler that I really got to know, and with his character work, it really inspired me a lot early on, because he was somebody that could make you feel just unsettled when he came to the ring, not even when he got in the ring yet, but just on the way to the ring. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone would have that feeling of, oh my gosh, what is he going to do, you know? And I just was so fascinated by that, and how when I was a fan, how the Undertaker could make me feel so many emotions just by entering the ring. Mm-hmm. And I found that very inspiring, and I was like, I want to do that.
Did you ever have the chance to see him live perform in person?
I did. I was at WrestleMania 30, and I was about seven rows back from the ring when he lost his streak.
Oh man!
Yeah, the first time ever seeing him, and my brother was going ballistic. So.
Oh, I'm sure. I've had the pleasure of seeing him too a few times, and it's quite the experience when he comes out. I mean, it's just like everybody's just transfixed on him, and you know, you just watch the spectacle. It's just so beautiful to see it in a way.
Oh yeah, it's just amazing how a person can make that many people in a room silent.
Exactly.
You know, and just, it's amazing to me.
Exactly. So you mentioned earlier when you trained for a little while. Who did you train under?
Well, when I first started, I trained under one of the local guys here in Georgia, and then eventually I started training with Murder One, very well known and respected veteran in Georgia. And when I started training with him, that's when I really saw my wrestling change for the better, and I started really learning and growing. And he also hardened me a lot, because I was very tough. I came from a very strict family. I didn't really like go out. I wasn't really social. So when I started training under him, he really toughened me up. And he put me through a lot, but who made me what I am today as a wrestler.
Okay. Was he the type of trainer? Because you hear this a lot from the old timers, that they'll say, well, you know, my trainer, he tried to beat me so that I wouldn't come back, but I kept coming back. Was Murder One that type of trainer at all?
I don't think he was rough with me to try to get me to not come back, but he just wanted to toughen me up, because, I mean, he definitely put me through hell in my first year training with him. And, I mean, still to this day, you know, he doesn't take it easy on me. and he's always been very brutally honest. I mean, there's been times where I've shed tears with him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, back then it was like, this is hell. You know, I'm never gonna make it through this. And, but now it's like, I really appreciate it, because if it wasn't for that, I would be weak.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Now, when you started out, you know, about 2 years ago, you were more like a gypsy type character, you know, and then you evolved into what you are today, basically like a succubus vampire, kind of, sort of, I would say.
Yeah, succubus. I don't know if you've actually, like, heard me say that before, but, I mean, if you just said succubus off the top of your head, I appreciate that, because you're one of the first people to actually see it and understand.
Well,
my character now...
No, go ahead.
Yeah, when I first started, I really didn't know what to do, you know, as far as character goes. Like, I had an idea, but I was still living with my mom, and my mom was very controlling, and wouldn't let me be myself. And, you know, growing up, I was always like, I wanted to be... I remember being 6 years old and, like, coming up to my mom and being like, Mom, I want to be punk rock. Like, make me whatever punk rock is. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she just really wanted me to be this girly little princess, because she was like, you know, boys don't like that. And it's like, when I started wrestling, she controlled my every move for the most part, what I wore, what I did, what I said, how I looked, everything. So when I moved out, I was finally able to find myself and really be who I wanted to be. And that's when I started doing this succubus character. It was not too long after that. And it comes from, the character itself comes from not only my personal story, but in a wrestling perspective, it is a way to get me the head of my opponents, as I said earlier. Mm-hmm. But coming from the personal side, my mom always made me feel shameful of my sexuality, because I grew up so strict. So it was like, you know, you can't do this, you'll get a bad name, or, you know, you'll get talked about, or you can't, and, you know, what I do is basically like, I want younger people to know that they can be open with their sexuality, and they should never feel ashamed or have to hide who they are. Mm-hmm. And that's what I promote from a personal side.
Okay. Just be themselves. So basically, because you always hear wrestlers say, well, the best characters is yourself, but amped up to 1,000, you know, so basically, is that what you're saying that you're doing right now?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and I feel like I also, you know, I want people to realize that no one, even if your parents make you feel uncomfortable to be who you are, you know, like, do that, be yourself. Because it wasn't until I started being myself that I was truly happy. And for years, I wasn't happy because my mom made me feel so ashamed to be myself and be open about, you know, anything, sex, my look, whatever. So, you know, I would like to preach to, like, younger communities about that, like, especially like younger LGBT communities that, you know, don't feel like they can be comfortable with their sexuality. Like, I just want everyone to be themselves. And even if themselves is a crazy person, or if they think is a weirdo, like, I just want people to know, like, be a weirdo, you know? That's what I am.
Yeah. If you want to be, just be who you are, right?
Yeah, but in a wrestling perspective, because it's not just, oh, I want to do this just to be open and crazy, you know, for shock factor. It's not, it never was just for shock factor, but it was also, like I said, to really make people skin crawl. You know, I don't go out there and try to be sexy, like, oh, look at me, like, aren't I so hot? I try to make people uncomfortable. Like, I want people to feel sick to their stomachs almost when they watch me wrestle. Even if that's a good way or a bad way, you know, it's not meant to be a sexy type thing. Mm-hmm. It's more to be like, violating.
Yeah. Just to get people thinking and get people, like you said, it's kind of, sometimes it's cringeworthy. And I got to say, sometimes some of the things you've done, I'm like, oh, okay, that's different, you know? and I enjoy it. I enjoy it very much, because it totally sets you apart, you know? And that's the great thing.
Yeah.
Now,
and, you know, of course,
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just going to get into that. You also do intergender matches, you know, so where you wrestle against men. So a lot of people are turned off by that, but a lot of people love it too, because you know, they say, oh, it's a women empowerment, and but the denigrators will say the opposite. Well, no, it's men beating up on women. I mean, obviously you're okay with it since you do it, but do you see it as a good thing or a bad thing?
I think if you do it right, it's a good thing. If you don't, then it can be a bad thing. Because, I mean, the thing is you wouldn't... There's a lot of matches, like intergender matches, where, like, the men just straight up put the girls in position instead of actually, like, making them work for it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think... it should be taken very more seriously. But when it is taken seriously, like the stuff that Candice LeRae does, like you can make something really amusing when you do it that way, where it's like an actual contest and it's an actual fight, and the men don't take it easy on the woman they're in the ring with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And makes it believable, you know, basically. You want it to be believable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've been making a name for yourself in a lot of different promotions. You're going up the ranks pretty quickly. I mean, like I said earlier, you're going to be with Shine 47 tomorrow, but you've also worked with Rise, with Full Impact Pro, and now you're also working with Evolve. Ultimately, I mean, maybe I'm talking too far down the road, but ultimately, is your goal to be go to the WWE, or are you okay for now? Just thinking about the present and then concentrating on what you're doing.
Well, I mean, of course, like I would love to go to the WWE. That would be amazing. But you know, it's not the only goal that I have. I would love to go there, but I'd also like to just travel the world and wrestle everywhere and get to experience. Everything, you know, because I mean, in my short 3 years of a career, I've already experienced stuff that I never thought I would experience. Going to New York, going to California, wrestling in front of these huge crowds, and it's just surreal at times. And I can only imagine when I start going overseas how that's going to be. And I just really want to travel the world and you know, give my brother someone to look up to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I gotta say, I'm really looking forward to your future and what you evolve, you know, quote unquote, and no pun intended, you know, and see where you go and stuff. And I'm definitely a fan here. So I guess now we'll go into talk a little bit about heavy metal, because I know you're a fan. So I put together a few questions that I'm hoping you'll enjoy and you'll have a little bit of fun with here. Okay. So when you grow up, you kind of have somebody in your life that kind of introduces you to music at, you know, as you get older and stuff. Now, when you first heard heavy metal or, you know, heard some heavy metal music, who was it for you that brought that into your life? Was it like a sibling? Was it your parents? Was it a friend, an uncle? I mean, who was it for you?
My dad introduced me to metal. I remember being I was probably 4 or 5 years old, and my dad would play songs and have me guess what artist it was. And we would always just listen to Metallica. Like at 11 years old, I went to a Metallica concert for the first time. Me and my dad went, and it was them, Lamb of God, and I think Pantera.
Wow.
And, yeah, and it was just amazing. And so I grew up a lot on Black Sabbath, Metallica, and, you know, not just metal, but, I mean, other things. You know, like I grew up in a lot of, like, Blink-182 and The Killers and bands like that, too. So my dad really opened me up to that world. And then, like, when I was about 6, that's when I started discovering bands on my own. So I started discovering Green Day, My Chemical Romance, AFI, mm-hmm. and those types of bands too. And I know that's straying a little away from metal, but
no, it's still in the ballpark. Yeah.
So I mean, I you know, and then from there, of course, it just grows and grows and grows as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, my dad really influenced my music taste growing up.
Gotcha. Now, you know, a lot of us heavy metal fans, when we grew up, we kind of get inspired to either pick up an instrument or start singing. Did you ever have any aspirations like that at some point?
I actually, I picked up on piano. Well, I mean, all when I was younger, I used to love to play piano. At 6 years old, I was able to play Welcome to the Black Parade intro. Wow. On a piano. Mm-hmm. And then when I believe I was 11, I got bought my first real keyboard.
Okay.
And the first ever song that I learned how to play on keyboard within like 30 minutes of having it, because I got it for my birthday, I played The Day That Never Comes.
Wow.
In the first 30 minutes of having it, yeah.
Nice. So,
yeah, and then from there, I learned a lot of Metallica songs early on because my dad was just like, so he just loved it when I would play the Metallica, because it's like such nice little like ballad of these kind of songs. So like I played that one, and then I learned Fade to Black and then Sanitarium.
Okay.
And then from there, you know, I started playing more. Like I started to play a lot of Lana Del Rey, and like that's away from metal, but like stuff like that too. But yeah. I'm not, like, you know, super amazing at it, but it was a good pastime and a good a hobby that I really enjoyed.
Well, it's a good thing to have in your background as a wrestler, because one day, I mean, I don't know, you may want to write your own theme song, you know, to come out to.
Yeah.
You know, or at least collaborate with somebody, you know.
Yeah, and it's been easy to pick up on other instruments, too, because the piano is a good bass, because you learn the chords and you never kind of forget them. Because I recently got a ukulele and picked up on it super easy. You know, and I'm already learning, like, aside from the Adventure Time theme song, I'm learning like, a Green Day ukulele.
That's cool. Did you ever see on YouTube the guy that plays a Slayer on a ukulele?
No, I haven't. But there is a girl that inspired my piano playing, and she's really good at playing Metallica ballads.
Okay.
Piano.
Okay. That's cool. So these days, I mean, you said your first concert ever was Metallica. Mine too, but mine was back in 1986. So.
it was one of my first concerts. My first ever concert was it was Panic at the Disco.
Oh, okay.
Plain White Tees. Dashboard Confessional in the Cab, and that was my very first ever concert.
Okay. Not bad.
Metallica came like right after, though.
Okay, that's cool. And do you have time at all these days to go see concerts, or are you too busy with the wrestling?
Oh yeah, no, I make time for concerts. I went to see GWAR last night.
Oh cool, how'd you like it?
Yeah. Oh, it was great. I'm covered and stained in pink from the blood that they squirt out, and it was insane. I'm really sore and beat up today. I got punched in the nose. It was awesome.
Oh, so you're the type of girl that gets into the pit, right?
Oh yeah, it's like, to me, it's just no fun to like just stand to the side. Like if you're not in the pit, then go home.
That's awesome. Did you get a chance to see one of the opening bands, Ghoul, the ones with the executioner's masks? Did you get a chance to see them?
I did. They were great. Got to see them, and I missed the very, very first opening band. So
okay.
I didn't get to see them. But I'm constantly going to concerts. Like, I'm a big fan of Attila, a metalcore type band.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen them numerous amounts of times. A lot of variety too, because like there's a band named Avatar, it's a Swedish band, and I got to see them, and they were really phenomenal. And then, you know, A Day to Remember, going to more pop punk, and then a pirate band named Ailstorm,
was
really awesome.
Oh yeah,
I saw them at Warped Tour, and they were just great.
Yeah. You have a very wide palette. That's pretty. That's very cool. You seem to like a whole lot of different genres and. You know, in the metal hard rock scene. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So when you go to concerts like that, do you ever run into wrestling fans that recognize you?
I think I have a few times. I get more, like, recognitions just, like, the most random times, like, in gas stations or in stores. Very rare that I get like, recognized like at a concert. But then again, at a concert, I usually look like hell. So, yeah.
So, have you, and because of wrestling, have you ever met a band that you love where because you're a wrestler, you got to go backstage and go meet somebody that you're a fan of?
Yeah, I did. I actually got to meet and hang out with the guys from Issues, which is a pop punk band. Mm-hmm. I got to hang out with the guys from Issues, and I got to hang out with some of the guys from Falling in Reverse. And so that was really cool.
Okay.
Big fan of those bands.
Okay. Now, is there anybody out there that you would absolutely love to meet, but you haven't yet, and somebody maybe that you would go try and not go all fangirl on? I mean, is there anybody out there that you really want to meet?
God, there's so many. I mean, Billy from Green Day, Gerard from MCR, Franz from Attila. Those are just a few. I mean, there's so many, though. There really are.
Yeah. So, talking about fan encounters earlier, have you had any weird fan interactions, you know, where, I don't know, like at a meet and greet where a fan comes up and they're totally freaking out and you're not sure how to handle it? Has that ever happened to you?
I've had fans cry when they meet me. That one's pretty odd because, it's so sweet, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know what to do. Do I hold you? Do I not? I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of weird fan encounters. It's hard to really pick out like a specific one, but, I've had times where fans have like followed me around, creepily, and fans will come up to me and like try to get my number. I've had fans ask me to like kiss them on the mouth. It's like really crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And do you get trolled at all on social media, like on your Twitter and Instagram and all that?
Yeah, I do, for sure.
Yeah.
People like to tell me that I look like people, and they know it annoys me, so they do it more. But it's okay.
Okay. So speaking of social media, how can people find you online?
I am on Twitter. Priscilla Kelly _ is my Twitter, and my Instagram is the Priscilla Kelly, and my Facebook is the same, the Priscilla Kelly, and. I think that's pretty much it for my social media.
Okay. Now, aside Shine 47 tomorrow, where you're going to be defending against ACR, I'm sorry. What are do you have any other appearances that you can talk about that are coming up soon?
Yeah, I'm going to be in Seattle soon for Defy, and I'm also going to be at Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment on the 27th of December. And then in January, I've got Evolve the 13th, and I believe the 14th, and Queens of Combat January 20th, and then another Shine on the 26th. And there's tons, over for months. But I'm at all the Evolve FIPs and Shine shows, so you can always catch me there.
Okay, great. Awesome. Well, that's pretty much all I had. Unless you have anything else that you want to add, you know, something else you want to plug, like a t-shirt store, you know, or pro wrestling tees. I don't know if you have one.
I don't have a pro wrestling tee yet. I am with Fully Gimmicked right now with my t-shirt. So I'm actually sold out right now, unfortunately. I do have t-shirt design. I do take orders online. Whenever I get shirts in stock, I usually post something on my Twitter about having shirts in stock. You can order online directly through me if you like. I'm a bad motherfucker, not a fucking role model. Fuck church, hit a bong, they go smash a fucking bottle. Got a few drugs to help me roll a few blunt, and they never question me because they know I hate cunts. Read my words and swallow my sins and tears. Here we go. What about that one?
fucks me all night. And she counts my money while I'm on my PlayStation. Every moment's always filled with sensation. Always fucking place in America's my nation. You're the fucking way. I'm about this fucking life. I hustle hard and then I play. Cause you live on my team. So you can taste success. That's the shame.
Recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese Man of War Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
You guys suck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
All right, so that song that you just heard before the little commercial break was Attila, About That Life, and that was Priscilla's request that we play this after the interview. So, she's so fucking cool, man. I can't wait to see her tomorrow at Shine. It's going to be amazing. You know, she's the inaugural Shine Nova champion, and she's still the champion. She's the very first Nova champion that they've had. So, and she's defending against ACR, like she said in the interview. So, I can't wait. And you know, if she can go in the Guar pit and get elbowed in the nose and, you know, and laugh it off, shit, she's got this in the bag.
That's probably a training regimen.
Yeah, you got to remember, like, this is a girl that takes bumps for a living. So, like, an elbow in the pit is nothing.
I feel bad for the rest of people in the pit.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, I've had girls kick my ass in the pit. And, like, I'll take a bump from her for sure. I'm falling in love with this girl for sure. Like, okay, first of all, she loves pro wrestling.
Obviously.
And she's not afraid of getting drenched at a Guar show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where have you been all my life? This is awesome.
And the fact that her very first show was Metallica and Lamb of God, you know, how cool is that?
Oh, I know, eh? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Holy shit. Yes. Miss Kelly has an open invitation to return to Radioactive Metal, like, whenever her little heart desires.
Anytime.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay, sorry, Aaron. I know this is a little more than the 2 minutes that we like to allot ourselves for pro wrestling on every show, but when the creature feature is relevant to that, we kind of have to make way. So,
Sorry, I'll be taking it up with my manager later.
Okay.
Which one, Aaron?
You got me on that one, damn it.
not that I'm in any hurry, because I'm having an awesome time.
Yes, tonight, you are. You said earlier you're going out, so you are in a hurry.
No,
totally in a hurry.
No.
Remember your sex pistol? No.
This has been an amazing night so far.
He's trying to kayfabe us, guys.
What? How are we for time?
We got to go. We're at just about an hour, so.
Okay. Do you have a song to get on?
Yes.
Here with?
Well, yes, since I mentioned him earlier, Brody King, we're going to go out on a God's Hate song, and it's the title track from their album called Mass Murder.
Right on. Okay, I have this thing about, okay, who in the metal world could kick my ass? And the list is very small. Chris Jericho is one. Andy Williams from Every Time I Die is the second. I think I better add Brody King.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's three.
What about
that's,
Doyle?
That's
Doyle, probably.
I think Doyle.
Yeah, probably.
Doyle. Danzig.
Yeah, Danzig.
Oh, Danzig.
I don't know. He's old.
That.
He's old.
I don't know.
He's old.
Look, Danzig will just beat your ass by looking at you.
I don't know. I've seen Danzig get
guys are about the same age, and my money's on Danzig.
I don't know, man.
That's a well-placed punch, man.
Yeah,
come on now.
He doesn't
exactly. I still think Henry can take it.
He doesn't exactly strike fear in me. Like, it's just
sometimes all you need is one lucky punch.
Yeah, and that's me and Glenn Danzig. Three punches or three hits. I hit him. He hits the ground. The ambulance hits 90.
Well, there goes our chances to have Danzig on the show.
Oh, come on.
No, I think it's going to increase them because, you know, we'd be like, so, Danzig, we want to talk to you about how you knocked Snowy out that night. They told us that in about another month or two we should come out of the coma. But while we're waiting, we're hoping that you could come on the show and just talk to us about what went down that night.
You know? Okay. You know what? All of this aside, like, I think Glenn Danzig and I would be better friends than enemies.
Yeah, ultimately. I think so, too.
Yeah.
I met him once. I met him once.
Oh.
Yeah, I met him at the...
Oh, yeah, that's right. At a comic shop.
At the comic shop I was working at. Leva was actually working at that comic shop, too, but she wasn't working that day. I was with another coworker, and he was playing on a... he was on tour, and he... I don't know if he still has it, but he used to have a house in Winter Park or Winter Garden. I'm not sure. And he had a Corvette there. He kept a car. So he went to his house, got his car, and then he came with his bodyguard. And there was another kid that was with him. I don't know if maybe some guy from the road crew or something. But yeah, he spent a good 45 minutes in the store, and he was looking at everything, and he wound up buying some comics. And,
killer.
And while he was looking at stuff, his bodyguard came up to the counter and he was asking us questions about certain things that he was looking for. And then we asked him, said, is that Glenn Danzig? He's like, yeah, it is. That's Glenn. I'm like, oh, cool. So when Glenn came to pay for his stuff, you know, I said, hey, I'm a fan. And I shook his hand, and he's very soft spoken, very, very limp handshake. Sorry to say.
What the fuck, man?
But he was very soft-spoken, very nice, and he asked us a few questions about some horror magazines. He was looking for some Fangorias, some old Fangorias that we did not have.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a super nice guy.
Right on.
You know what they say about limp hands, Rock?
No, what did they say?
Limp dicks.
Ah, I wanted to hear you say it.
Not Limp Bizkit either.
Oh.
Okay.
See, I'm just, the whole time you've been talking about his car, I just in my head, I've been hearing Prince singing, Little Red Corvette.
I know.
You know. I just picture Glenn and his Corvette actually jamming to that as he's driving through Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just singing Little Red Corvette at the top of his lungs.
Through Central Florida.
Because
that's where we're
right.
At.
Okay.
So that'd be the urethra in the Florida penis then, right?
Yes.
Just about,
yes.
Yeah.
All right. We got to bring it back around, right?
Yeah, call back.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to start somewhere.
This is our Florida anatomy lesson tonight.
Now that you've got me thinking, yeah, okay, maybe we should add Leva Bates to that list. I think she could kick my ass. Yeah.
I don't know. That when we were talking about Florida penis.
Well, no, we're all over the map.
He's talking about people that can beat him up in the metal world, but she's not in the metal world, so you're fine.
Well, yeah, I think
that's
she's
fucking
a,
funny.
Leva is too sweet to beat you up. I tell you, she's a sweetheart. She's so nice.
Right.
You have no idea.
And whatever. If a girl beats you up, it's foreplay. So
oh, Jesus Christ.
I think the two original guitar players in Deicide could have kicked your ass pretty good too. They were pretty.
Oh yeah, like anyone from Deicide's going to intimidate me. Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Snowy,
they don't have to intimidate you to beat the crap out of you.
I don't think so. Yeah. No, it's okay. Yeah. I love you, Glenn.
I'm gonna beat this place.
So you're the one that loves Glenn. It ain't me.
Oh yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on your toes there, sweetheart.
So speaking of loving Glenn in comics, can we talk about Glenn and Henry?
I don't know that reference. Okay, so here's just the short version
because I know we got to get out of here. But so Corrine, there's a comic and you need to read it. It's called Glenn and Henry Forever, I believe.
Yeah, something like that.
And so it's basically Henry Rollins and Glenn Danzig are gay lovers, and their neighbors are Hall and Oates, and Hall and Oates are Satanists, and they steal Glenn and Henry's dog to have a sacrifice. That's pretty much the gist that you need.
Yeah.
And of course, neither Glenn nor Henry likes the comic very much at all. And there was a follow up. I have them both.
Yeah.
It's some of the funniest stuff you're ever gonna read, just because it's so far from the truth. You know, like it's hysterical.
Yep.
I need to read that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's on your must read list.
Snowy's beside himself right now.
I totally forgot about that comic.
Yep. I have a copy.
I mean, you guys know. I mean, all of us on this show, I think we're pretty big Henry Rollins fans, and like I had to have it. You know.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't care how Glenn or Henry feel about it. Like it's hysterical. Like I love it. Yeah. It's funny because it's so not true. You know what I mean? That's what makes it funny. Cause they're doing things where you could the complete opposite of the character of both of these guys.
Yeah. You roll your eyes a lot while you read the book.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was a few years ago, like 2008 or something.
We talked about it on the show too, as I recall.
Yep. Yeah, because the one I bought my copy. Yeah.
Yeah, that actually might be why I got mine, because I heard it on the show.
Yeah, no, I remember. Nice. I remember you telling me that's why you got it. Yes, this was before you were on the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, we need to wrap this up, guys.
All right, wrap it up.
Somebody wants to go out and get sloshed.
don't. I can see you pointing at me.
Like, I have both my hands on the desk.
Okay.
I was rolling my eyes, though.
Before we get on out of here, how can people hear us, get a hold of us? We got to do some plugs here.
Facebook.com/radmetal for all your Facebook needs. Twitter is radmetal666 for all your Twitter needs. Instagram is radmetal666 for all your Instagram needs. And the website where all the magic happens is at radioactivemetal.org, and you will find about 100 old episodes. And if you go on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever the fuck they call it these days.
iTunes.
Just go
still get
there,
through iTunes.
Find us, subscribe, doesn't cost you a goddamn cent, and leave us a review, because then the more reviews we get, we go up in the rankings, and then we get better guests and blah, blah, blah.
Right on. Yes,
and guess
yes.
You can kick Snowy's ass.
Yes, and we have t-shirts on the website too if you want to buy a t-shirt. If you live anywhere in the U.S., I'm not sure about Alaska or Hawaii, but it's $16, shipping included. So,
hey, don't exclude those two. They are part of the United States.
It's the Postal Service. I don't know.
Dude.
And,
okay, I just had an idea. Hang on. You remember back in the day, MTV and the Celebrity Death Match? That's what we need to figure out. The people that you think could kick your ass, we need to animate a Celebrity Death Match. That's what we need to do, Snowy. That'd be like my next YouTube project.
That would be awesome.
Right on. And of course, if you buy a t-shirt Okay. Myself or Kareen will be more than happy if you set us up with some digits. We'll be more than happy to give you a call just to thank you because, you know, when you go to buy a T-shirt at your merch booth at the show, yeah, the merch person is friendly and all that. But I don't know. You know, it's always best, you know, to get that really, really nice thank you, which we will do. So you buy a T-shirt, set us up, and we will give you a call to thank you and all that. And as well, Radioactive Metal is part of the Shining Wizards Network. There's a whole whack of really good shows to get all your wrestling needs. Your lifestyle needs, your pop culture. Wait, what?
Well, you said the whole whack. Are they all whackers? Do they all whack away?
Well, I am like the only female on there.
Because, you know, they like to give us a hard time, those Shining Wizards guys.
They do.
So
I'm going to take this off the rails again. Have you guys seen the Deadpool trailer for Deadpool 2?
No.
When you're talking about whacking, like he does like this Bob Ross. You guys are like seriously watch it as soon as we're done here. So he does like this Bob Ross thing. So he's in the Deadpool thing with like a big Bob Ross, you know, wig. And then he's talking about, okay, now you got to get the paint off. So just whack it off. Whack it off.
He's I saw that at the Justice League movie.
Oh my goodness, it's so out of control.
Right on.
You didn't know, Bob Ross used to live right here in Altamont Springs.
See, that they're putting them on the map.
Doesn't it feel good to paint birds? What part of the penis paint those birds?
My mother used to tape that show every time it was on, and she has painted tons of paintings just like Bob Ross. He was a great teacher. I have some of my mom's paintings here that she did just like Bob Ross paintings. So, yep.
Believe me, there is no disrespect to Bob Ross.
No,
he's pretty solid. Apparently, he was a pothead.
Well, you have to be.
Not in the entertainment world.
A girl I used to work with, her mother was friends with Bob Ross, and apparently he loved his cannabis.
No doubt.
Bob Ross.
All right, let's wrap this up, guys.
Let's wrap this up. So shiningwizards.com for all your podcasting needs. There are so many wicked shows there, including us and the Shining Wizards and just everything you're going to want. Please check it out. And you said we're getting out of here on a God's Hate song. Awesome. I cannot wait. Oh, my God. That band fucking rules. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been an RAM Knockouts episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Kareen.
And this is Aaron driving your little red Corvette.
Signing off.
visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all the other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Of America is the right to protest far right.